Good morning, New Hope Church. Do you guys care if I talk to you and eat a pumpkin donut? That wasn't really like, I mean, it doesn't really matter if you care or not, but because I have one and I'll try not to eat it too much. Well, if you are visiting with us today, my name is Matt Archer. I am the lead pastor here at New Hope. And this morning is a different service for us. Number one, we're just having one service at 10 o'clock, and you came to the right place at the right time. Well, we had a few people that didn't get the memo, but I'm telling you, we announced it for several weeks, so the word got out. And then I woke up this morning. Okay, so how many of you guys remembered it was daylight savings time? It's like, this is like the good daylight savings time, right? Yes. Is there anybody that's like, oh, I hate the one where we go back? Everybody likes that one, right? Yeah, okay. So me too, but I forgot all about it. Fortunately, didn't throw anything off for me, except for I forgot also that we had one service this morning. I forgot, and I'm the guy that should know. So I was ready super early this morning, just needless to say. And by ready, I mean awake, and because like you're going to probably figure out pretty soon, he's still not ready. Maybe not. So what this service is, this is an opportunity for us to do exactly what that song just talked about, to express our gratitude and our thanks to God, to recount his faithfulness to our church family over the last year, last ministry year. So we kind of operate here, when we talk about a year here at New Hope, we kind of talk about from September to September, because our ministry year is sort of like the school calendar, and then the summer comes along, and it's a little bit different feeling there, But if it's like, why are they acting like we're in January? Why are they acting like this is the end of the year? That's why, because this morning we're just kind of looking back at what God did over the last ministry year. And I asked the team if they could play that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because I do really believe that God has been incredibly faithful to us as a church family. And the verse that came most readily to my mind as I thought about this, two verses, is from Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. How many of you know that verse, those verses? How many of you have ever taken some time to look at the context of those verses and see what comes before and after them? Have you ever done that? If you've never done it, don't do it right now. But check that out, maybe later today. It's a really interesting passage of scripture. The title of the book, Lamentations, will kind of give you some clues about what this might be about. But this is like right after a long lamentation, where the author is lamenting, feeling like God is not listening to me. God is actually, he's kind of blocked me right now. He has shut me out. He won't listen to my prayers. I cannot break through to him. I cannot see him. I'm not experiencing any of his blessings. Have you ever felt that way in your life? I used to be a youth pastor working with middle school and high school students, and a lot of times I would have kids tell me, God's mad at me. He won't talk to me. He won't listen to me. He won't hear my prayers. Well, why not? Well, I don't know. And so the thing that I've found more often than not is in life, if it feels like God is not listening to you, if you cannot get through to God, if God is distant and far away, there's a pretty good chance that the person that's moved away in the relationship isn't God, but you. You know, we tend to wander. And the fact that there's another hymn that we sang on Sunday morning that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet there are times where God in his sovereignty is working out his plan where we feel like we're in a bit of a mystery. We feel like we don't really know what's going on. We don't know what God's doing. And in those seasons, we want to recount God's faithfulness, who he is, who he has always shown himself to be. And then closer to home, who he's been in my life and how he's been faithful in my life. So as the pastor of New Hope this morning, my heart's in a place where I'm super grateful for all that God has done. My head is in a place where I'm still trying to figure out what day today is. Like this whole early morning thing and one service thing is playing with my mind this morning. But here's the thing. This is a great prayer. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The verse that I you know, I was kind of like thinking about two different passages, and one was Lamentations. The other one actually is Exodus 34. And in Exodus 34, we read this, and go ahead and pull it up. It's going to say Psalms. It says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." And the reason why I say it comes from Exodus is because the psalmist was actually quoting God. Okay, now as Christians, most of us believe that the scriptures, the Bible, is the inspired word of God. That not necessarily that God spoke to the writers like audibly, like, "Here's what I want you to write down. Oh, you missed a comma." Not like that, but like God put the idea and the inspiration into them, what he wanted to write. He guided that process so that they didn't get it wrong. And as far as the verbiage goes, I think he gave them a little bit of wiggle room, right? But the idea and the truth needed to be there. In Exodus, the first time that God actually revealed his character to a human being, he does to Moses. And if you're familiar with the story, God comes down and he hides Moses in this cleft in a rock. He puts him in and says, "Okay, Moses wanted to see God." And God's like, you're going to go in here. I'm going to pass by you. And you can look when I'm gone. And so in that, God makes a declaration about himself. In Exodus 34:6, he says, the Lord God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he just describes his character and who he is. And the psalmist picks up on that in this verse here. My tendency in life is to, and this is going to be so odd to some of you, because I know you're not this way, but is to wake up in the morning and think that everything that's going to happen in the next 24 hours or so is all about me. My first thought is me. And if I'm having a good day, also my family. And so there are a lot of times in life where when things are going good, I forget to recount God's faithfulness. And when things are going bad, I'm really quick to ask God, "Where are you? It feels like you're not listening to my prayers. It feels like you're nowhere around." But also not quick to recount his faithfulness. And that's why I think it's important for us as a church, but also as individuals, to set up regular times where we, what your parents used to say, count your blessings, where we recount God's faithfulness to us. It wasn't uncommon for the scripture writers to do this. It wasn't uncommon for the psalmist to do this. It wasn't uncommon it's not still uncommon for Jews who are practicing their faith to be intentional about having certain times in a day and certain times throughout the year where they specifically focus on God's faithfulness and recounting God's faithfulness. And so I was thinking about, what does it mean for God to be faithful to a church? Does it mean that we're going to grow in big numbers? And so God's been faithful to us if all the green chairs are filled? Does it mean that we're going to have money in the bank? That God's been faithful to us as you know, if people are digging deep and they're filling up the giving box? Does it mean that, like, in the community, people are going to, like, say good things about you? Or does it mean that in the community, people are going to say bad things about you? I don't know. Like, which one of those things means God is actually being faithful to us as a church? And then as I thought about that, I just kind of came back to, what is it that we feel like we've been called to do as a church? And we talk about three things here. Somebody just say three words that you think we talk about here. Up and out, thanks. I mean, you could have said Father, Son, Spirit, and I would have had to give you credit for it, but it really wasn't where I was going. Up, in, and out. And what we mean by that is kind of the three phases of love that Jesus demonstrated for us. Up means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. To love the Lord completely. In means to love one another correctly, the way that Jesus said. Jesus said that we're supposed to love one another as Christ loved the church. And out means to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so if God is being faithful to us as a church, I think it's pretty easy for us to be able to see how we're growing in those areas. And that's really when I took some time to stop and think where I'm sorry, because I'm coming at this. It's really hard to talk about recounting God's faithfulness and having a heart of gratitude for that when you realize that's kind of not the that's not really the water that I swim in most days. Most days, like, I'm just so focused on what has to be done and or worried about what isn't getting done or angry about how things are getting done or not getting done that I forget about what God has done and what he's promised to do. And really, that's what matters most. And when God, if we truly believe, like we've talked the last couple weeks about trusting in the Lord, trusting God, and God we trust, if we truly put our trust in God, then we know all we have to do is be cognizant of who he's been in the past and be faithful to who he said he will be in the future. And that puts us in a spot where, like I've said before, where we can breathe no matter what's going on in the world around us. Not that it doesn't impact us, not that it might make our life more difficult or maybe sometimes what's going around us makes our life a little bit easier. But all that we really have to do is know that, like, we are free to walk in Christ. We are free to be, we are free to turn off the Ring doorbell on my phone. That's not my house. That's the church. Somebody's leaving. They're like, I didn't like this message at all. I'm out of here. How do I turn this off? I know. Mute. There we go. Sorry about that. I'm so distractible. We are just free when we trust God to be who he said he will be, what he says he'll do, and we look back and say, oh yeah, he's never not done what he's promised to do. He's never not been who he's revealed himself to be. So I believe that God desires to see New Hope Church grow up in love for him, in love for one another and community, and out in a desire to love our neighbors and to see them experience Christ. And I believe that he will do that. The reason I'm not looking at this and saying, because that's the mission or the vision that we came up with at church, so God has to do it. No, it's because that's what Christ taught us to desire in the New Testament, in the Gospels. It's what he showed us how to live. It's what he said the Christian faith is all about. It's all about learning to love God by loving one another and loving our neighbors and seeing God's faithfulness in that process. So how have I seen that over here? This is kind of the nuts and bolts for me. What I've seen here at New Hope is I believe that God is teaching us what it means to love him and to be loved by him. And I believe he's doing this by leading us into a deeper understanding and a deeper experience of what it means to love one another and love our neighbor. And again, so if this feels like a little bit of a review, that's okay. Next slide there. God is growing us up as he grows us in. The key verse that we talked about, again, for learning to love one another correctly is this. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So the idea here is, like, we need to love one another the way that Christ loved the church, which was, we know, was a sacrificial love. He gave himself completely for us. And I want you to know, like, I generally stand up here in a place where I feel like my job is to challenge us and to call us to action. But I also think that sometimes my job is to encourage and to say, well done. And obviously, you know, right now our church is the largest it's ever been numerically. Actually, in the history of this church, which goes beyond New Hope Church, it goes back to all the way to Baldwinsville Alliance Church 30 years ago. Right now, our average attendance for this year is over 150, which is greater than it's ever been in the history of this church. I mean, that's cool, and I praise God for that. I don't think God is concerned about numbers the way that I tend to get concerned about numbers, but I do think he cares about numbers because every number has a name and a face. And I think that that's really what matters to God. But I don't really remember where I was going with that. So it must have been wrong. What's that? Yes, thank you. Oh, man. This is why I allow you guys to speak back and stuff. And I invite it sometimes because I know there's going to be moments where I'm going to be like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Encouragement. So, okay, what I was going to say with the numbers, thank you, Mike, man, was I don't know what's going on all the time. I've never felt more disconnected from everybody in this building on Sunday morning than I do now. Like, when we first came here, there was 24 people, and, like, we got to know everybody. And then when you get to know everybody for a few months, when new people come, you can get to know them pretty easy. And it's not so hard for a little while. But then when all of a sudden you get to a number that goes from two digits to three digits, it gets harder. And I was gone for a big part of time over the summer, so a lot of people, unfortunately, some people snuck out while I was gone, and a lot of people snuck in, and I haven't got to meet you yet, and you're like, well, I filled out the card, and you didn't send me an email. You're right, I didn't. I'm working on getting caught back up. But I don't know all of the stories. Here's the point. I don't really know every story. But I want you to know, what I do know is that when it comes to loving each other as Christ loved the church, it's happening, and I want to acknowledge it, that it's happening. Like, there are people who have come to this church and have stuck at this church because people not only just greeted them warmly on a Sunday morning, not took the time to get to know their name or to actually have a conversation with them, but as they got to know who they were and saw things that were happening in their life, people were willing to engage with them and to try to love them as they thought Christ would love them. And this is all what it means to be a disciple, by the way. A disciple of Jesus is who Jesus would be if Jesus was you in your circumstances, right? So you just think about your circumstances in life. And to be a disciple of Jesus means that in your circumstances, you would do the same things that Jesus would do if he was in you in those circumstances. Because you're learning to walk in the way of Jesus. And I'm telling you that some of you in this room today have done well at that when it comes to people who are hurting, when it comes to people who are grieving, when it comes to people who are in need, and when it comes to people who are lonely. We haven't nailed it. It's not like every grieving, hurting, lonely person that walks in this building walks out of here going, I finally found that church where they look like Jesus. But like, as a guy who tends to be cynical, skeptical, myopic, is that the right word? Myopic, is that a word? Yeah, I think it is. Self-centered, whatever those things might be. When I stop and recount God's faithfulness, like the things he pointed me to were you. And man, I'm just like, I'm telling you, there's a lady today who weeks ago walked in this building for a women's event. It's only like one of our first few times coming into not only just this church, but being willing to actually darken the door of a church. That sounds a weird term, lighten the door of a church. Anyway, to walk into a church, and a few minutes into that meeting, she had a stroke. We had to have an ambulance call and take her to the hospital. Okay, as sad as it might seem, but you could go to a church and you could have a stroke and they could ship you off to the hospital and nobody might ever come and visit you. But that hasn't been the case, New Hope Church. People have visited her. People have prayed for her. People have taken the time to get to know who her family is, have made meals for her. And all I knew was that I visited her in the hospital because I found out about it, and I'm the pastor, and that's my job. And she was grateful for that, but it feels a little weird sometimes when you go see somebody and you pray for them and you listen to them. But at the end of the day, it's your job. I was just making a joke with Warren out there, and I said, look, here's the deal. I get paid to be good, but you guys are good for nothing. No, it's all about the inflection there. What I mean is you guys are doing this because it's the right thing to do, because it reflects Christ. It brings glory to him. And that lady's husband was here this morning. He didn't get the memo on the time change. And he said, I can't stick around for 10 o'clock. He's like, but would you let people know how appreciative we are? And would you ask them to keep praying? Because now she's gone through, ooh, does anybody see that? Holy water. I'm thinking about the donut. She went through ICU, and she went through being moved into recovery. Now she's into rehab. And let me tell you, like, this is a lady who was very scared about what was going on. Like, when I said, hey, listen, I've sat with a lot of people who've had strokes, and the doctors here are good, and this recovery is possible. It's very likely. If they're telling you you can recover, you can recover. And she was scared about that. And, like, this is just, like, normal stuff, like you or I would probably be. And now, like, you have this family who is not about New Hope Church. It's about being the church of Jesus Christ, right? And being willing to say, like, who would Jesus be if he was me in this situation? And I guarantee you, if Jesus was holding a meeting here and somebody came in and had a stroke, well, he'd probably heal them. But since we can't do that, like, he would visit the sick, and he would spend time with them, and he would prioritize them, and he would make sure that their needs were taken care of. And so, good job. And there's others. I mean, some of you guys know Mary Lou, the lady that we prayed whose husband passed away here a couple weeks ago. And some of you made it a priority to get to know her, to spend time with her, to sit with her. And the thing about grief, by the way, is, this is just a side, but don't stop, because, like, grief is a long process, kind of a lifelong process. And, like, when you make that investment into somebody's life, like, just keep making it. Just the amazing thing about when we do these kind of things, when we enter in to the right, loving each other the way that Christ loved the church, the right way of doing in, God grows us. And we actually start to be blessed by that just as much as the people that we're trying to bless. Why? Because God is developing the character of Christ inside of us. And that is what he's trying to do in the church. That's the goal. So understand something. That is the goal of being a Christian, is to become who we were meant to be in Christ. I know it's hard because, like, for a lot of us, we think the goal of being a Christian is to become all that I can be according to this world. So, like I can be happy, I can be healthy, I can be wealthy. And if God is real, then he's, like, the pathway to that. So, like this is what my Christianity is. It's about me coming to God because he's the guy that can give me everything that I want and need. It's like, no, that's really not it. What it's really all about is he knows who you are supposed to be. And he can do everything that's necessary to help you unpack that, discover that, and walk in who you were created to be in Christ. There's a difference there, and it may seem like a thin line, but it's not. So I just want to encourage you, keep going. For those of you that were willing to take the risk, because it's always a risk. It's really not, but it feels like a risk in following Jesus. I would say it's not a risk because it's the biggest blessing, but it feels like a risk. But it is always an effort. It's a challenge, because in order to follow Christ, you have to stop putting you first, and you have to put things aside that the world might look at you and say, well, you're crazy for putting that aside. Like, that's the most important thing. So, well done. And for those of you that feel like, well, he's not talking to me because I haven't done very well at that, that's okay. I hope the fact that there are people sitting around you would encourage you to say, yeah, I can do this. I can do this too. I'm sure you can think of times in life where you felt like, nobody could ever do this. This is impossible. And then that one person that you knew in the group that you're like, this person's incompetent, all of a sudden they could do it. And you're like, huh, if they can do it, I can do it. And then you were able to do it. I'm not saying anybody in here is incompetent. What I'm saying is, like, we should be encouraged by each other. So if you are loving one another as Christ loved the church, well done, and show us how to do that. Keep doing it so that we'll pick up on it, right? Okay, next one. At the same time, I believe that God is growing us up as he grows us out. What do I mean he's growing us up? Yeah, upward in maturity, but he's helping us understand what it means to love him by helping us grow in what it means to love our neighbors. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. I knew when I put this verse up there, it's like, oh, you're giving that verse without any context, and it sounds like we're supposed to do good things to bring attention to ourselves so people will point at us and say, man, they're a good church. No, Like, in fact, actually, we're going to do a whole series on the Sermon on the Mount after the first of the year. But Jesus actually makes the opposite point in the same sermon, if you will, where he says, don't do your deeds to be seen by men. So it's kind of like, well, which one is it, Jesus? Well, here's what he's saying. It's like, when you walk in the way of Jesus, when you do things his way, you're doing it in the world, and people are going to see it. That's why right before this verse, he says, you are salt and you are light. And so what he's saying is like your motivation isn't for people to see it and point to you, but it's like when you do the right things, people will see it. And ultimately, God will receive the glory for that. And so in that sense, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify. So the light, right, is Christ in you through the presence and person and power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that when it comes to loving each other correctly and loving our neighbors correctly and even loving our enemies, that like God doesn't expect you to suddenly miraculously be a different person than you were before you discovered that you needed Jesus. See, what changes when we come to Christ is not necessarily our ability to do things. What changes when we come to Christ is we receive the Holy Spirit who gives us his ability to do things. But we have to learn how to walk in that. We have to learn how to operate submitted to the will of Christ. And we have to be willing to make sacrifices, be willing to make changes. And that's what, in all these areas, I got as much room for growth as anybody. But here's what I've seen when it comes as a church, when it comes to reaching out. Some of you in here have picked up on this idea, because it's scriptural, that it is not your job to bring lost people to church and the pastor's job to save them. It is your job to learn how to follow closely to Jesus so that the spiritually lost people in your life can see Jesus in you. And the church and the pastor, their job is to set a good example, but also to teach and to encourage you in this and to help you with resources if those are needed, so that you can do exactly what it is that you're called to do. And I'm grateful for that because, quite frankly, I'm in the same place as you were. When once I get out of this building on Sunday morning, my job is to let my light shine before men. I can't go into a difficult situation and be like, well, I don't really have to help with that because I just got done preaching a sermon. So I did my part. But the reality is like, when it comes to loving outwardly, if you're just checking out New Hope Church, please don't think that the way that happens at this church is by events. I mean, we do some things where we intentionally as a group try to love on people. Things like a food bank collection, right? And things like a blood drive and things like the diaper bank drive and things like the baby bottle boomerang. And there are things that we can do where we can come together as a church and we can encourage each other and we can make an impact in our community in one way or another. And that's good. And we'll always do those kind of things. But that pales in comparison to what God wants to do in you, in your sphere of influence and with the people that you know. And really, you're never really going to know how God is growing you just by participating in events that your church body does. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, I'm not saying this because I want our next food drive to be a clunker, but it's kind of easy to grab some canned goods and bring them to a building and drop them off when you were going to go to that building anyway. And when you're like, maybe if I give them 3 cans of corn, I don't have to put any money in the offering tray this week. So it's like, that's really easy. I don't know if anybody does that, by the way. I'm not accusing. But what I'm saying is like, it's a lot harder. And there's a lot more growth that takes place when in the course of your day-to-day life, you see needs that other people have, or you see people that you know are far from Christ and to say, okay, I've got to look for ways to demonstrate Christ to them. Or you see people who are far from Christ and you're like, good, because that person's a total jerk. So like they should get whatever's coming to them. Like all those are areas where God's got to change your heart. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to grow you up as he grows you out. You know what I'm saying? It's not that we're not going to. So here's how I know some of that is happening at our church. And I realize I'm getting carried away. I got to mark this up. Here's how I've seen this happening at our church. I've seen this happening in the stories that come back to me. Nobody's coming to me. I don't think anybody's coming to me with stories of like, guess what great, incredible evangelistic thing that I did this week. Like, nobody is coming pointing to themselves. But people come to me when they've had an opportunity to be obedient to Jesus in the life of somebody else, and they did it. And they come to me usually excited about the fact that good things happen that. And sometimes the only good thing that they saw happen out of that was the fact that they were cognizant of the fact that they were obedient. And so they wanted somebody to be like, I did that. That thing that you're always talking about, I did it. It's like, yeah, that's awesome. And so, like, I'm seeing those, I'm getting those kind of reports. I'm also seeing people, I am seeing people come to this building because one of you has reached out to them and because one of you has gotten involved in their life. And sometimes those people don't stick around very long. Don't blame me, but like, that's not on you. What I'm saying is, like, your job, here's the thing. Our job is not to save anybody. Like, do you understand that? Like, God's job is to save people, and God's job is to transform lives. Our job is to follow Jesus. And in the process of following Jesus, he says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. It's like his job is to, like, if I want to make disciples, I don't have to worry about how great of a disciple maker I am. I only have to worry about how good of a disciple am I. Like, I only have to worry about, am I following Jesus? Because if I'm following him and his spirit lives in me, then he's going to do that work through me according to his plan and his timing. So that, again, like, I just feel like he takes all the pressure off of us sometimes. Here's another way that I've just seen that people are desperate to grow in their outward love. It's because we've generally done a lot of what I would say cultivating and maybe planting events here, little farming language. I don't know how many farmers there are in the room. So when I think about loving our neighbor and sharing the gospel and making disciples, we kind of have this philosophy that we'd talk about back in the day when I was a youth pastor, was CPR. Everybody knows what CPR is, right? It's when you take somebody that, as the kids, yes, it's one of those cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It's where you take a heart that's not beating anymore and you restart it. You bring it back to life, right? For all practical purposes. And if you're a doctor, I'm a simpleton. But like, that's what CPR is. You know, it's something that's dead and you're trying to bring it back to life. And that's kind of there's a pretty clear spiritual implication there, right? If the scripture says that all of us have sinned, we're all separated from God, we're all lost. And when Christ comes in, he brings our dead heart to life. And so we believe that there's this process of eternal CPR, if you will, where God wants to bring people back to life, and he wants to use us in that process. He's the only one that can restart the heart, but he wants to use us. And so what he does, and this is why we get those letters, CPR, is we cultivate, we plant, and then we reap. And even though as we reap, it's like the fruit is all up to God. Okay, so we're super fast unpacking this. Cultivating. If you've anybody ever planted a garden or, you know, a flower bed or anything, what is cultivating? It's turning the soil, right? It's preparing the soil to put the seed in, right? Okay, I need a little help because they're not green. I kill things. I don't grow things. But like, so the idea is you're getting the soil ready to put the seed in. Okay, so what that means for me is when we do a trunk or treat event here at the church, that's a cultivating event. We might couch it poorly, like when Dave, where is David Gray? Is he in here? There he is. When Dave does a terrible job of getting up here and he just says, we don't want to be weird. He's not saying we don't want to be the church that actually tells people about Jesus. What he's saying is like, hey, we believe in cultivating, we believe in planting, and we believe in reaping. We believe there's a time to plant seeds of spiritual truth in a conversation, to tell people, to listen to what's going on in their lives and see how you can speak Jesus into that conversation. We believe that there's definitely a time and a place where you say, do you know Jesus? Where you want to just share with them kind of the ABCs of the gospel and give them an opportunity to respond. But there are other times where you say, I want to love people so that I will have the opportunity to plant and the opportunity to reap. So when we do an event like the trunk or treat thing that we did out here a few weeks ago, I look at that as a cultivating event. I'm totally fine with the fact that we can have a few hundred people from our community show up at an event at our church, and all we did was be nice to them, give them candy, provide fun, safe things for their kids to do for a couple hours. I'm fine with that. You know why? Because when I was a parent with little kids, I loved it when people did that kind of stuff. And I thought, that's really nice of them to do that. And so it's just an opportunity for us to cultivate. What we're doing is we're just turning the soil. You say, but how do you know those people are going to come back and be planted? I don't know if they're going to come back for somebody to plant the seeds of the gospel, but I can tell you this. Somebody will plant the seeds of the gospel, because if I cultivate, somebody's going to plant. And if somebody plants, somebody's going to water. And if somebody waters, somebody's going to reap. Okay? Now you might say, well, why don't you just do reaping events? Well, why don't you do reaping events? Right? It's not about the pastor. So what I'm saying is, like, but what was great with this year was, in a right way, we were challenged to say, well, can we do more than that? And it's like, yeah, we can. And we didn't do a great job with it, but it's like, first step, we set up a tent where we try to, in a unthreatening way, say, can we pray for you? Can we tell you who we are? Can we answer any spiritual questions that you have? So, like, and now we're saying, well, so that happened because somebody was said, in a spirit of Christian love and unity, how can we do more without being weird and without, like, offending somebody for the sake of the gospel? How do we be winsome, but, like, make sure that we don't miss an opportunity? And I love that, because I believe that's the work of God in you, growing you up as he grows you out. And so, like, we have a Christmas event coming up, and if you're visiting, you're like, this is the weirdest church ever. We're doing this free Christmas event for the community with pictures with Santa Claus. And you're like, oh, it's one of those churches. No, like, I gotta be careful. There's children. We don't worship Santa Claus. I'll just put it that way. We worship Jesus. We know that Christmas is all about the arrival of our Messiah and Lord and Savior, right? I get it. But there's a whole community of people that's just saying, like, what fun Christmas things can I do for my family? And once again, we're saying, hey, we're going to take it. We're going to leverage what our culture does and say, we're going to try to love on those families. Now, I look at that as a cultivating event. And I see that as a very base level planting event, because we always give these people a book with the true Christmas story, a good, nice children's book, hardcover book. And we're ready to answer any questions that people might have. But it's been a low-level event with that way. But I've been fine with that. But now I've got people saying, again, in a right way, they're not coming to me and saying, you're the worst pastor ever, you're doing this, and the church is wrong, and you guys, whatever. They've come to me and they say, well, how do we do better? Like, is there a way that we can make sure that, and they're not using this vernacular, that we can plant? Is there a way that we can be prepared to reap if that opportunity comes along? And I would say yes. Like, if that's where our heart's at, we can always look into that. And the fact that I'm getting those questions from a right spirit means that God's working. He is growing you up as he's moving, you know, giving you a desire to reach out. And so I just want to take this opportunity today to give thanks to God for his faithfulness. Because not only is he growing us numerically as a church, and not only are there more people in chairs, but the people who are in the chairs, he's working, changing your heart. Transformation is God's job. He's drawing you closer to him. He's giving you more and more of a desire to be who Jesus would be if Jesus was you in your circumstances. He's giving you a desire to want to present a good image of Christ in your community, not just to go out and change people's minds so that they'll adopt your belief system, but for some of you, what I've really seen is this wrestling with what you've always thought you knew was true. You're wrestling with, like, well, how, maybe my way doesn't look like Jesus's way. God is working. He's moving. He's been faithful to us in more ways than just people and funds, in the ways that matter most. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end with this little video. And when the video is done, the band's going to come up and they're going to close us with a song of praise. And then I would just invite you. If you're a part of this church family, but you're not a membership partner yet, if you want to stick around, about 15 minutes after the service ends, we're going to have our annual business meeting. It's not a long, tedious business meeting, but if you want to see kind of what happens at a business meeting, and you want to know what our membership deals with in terms of electing leaders and approving a budget and those kind of things, we'd love to have you be a part of that. You can't vote, but you can certainly come and hang out, and you can ask us any questions. We'd love to answer those for you. And then we got a big fundraiser going on. After that, there's lunch. So, like, if you stick around, there's a good chance that you'll get fed. I think the details are all out there. I don't need that. I'm over my time. All the children's people are mad at me because I said it would be an hour, no more. And I was wrong. All right, so let me pray, and then they're going to start a video, and we're going to close. God, my only prayer this morning is a prayer of thanks. I just want to confess that you, God, you are all good, and you are great, and your ability to keep your promises, the things that you have said you will do, you have done, the things that you... you have always been true to your character, and I just give you thanks for who you are. God, I give you thanks for your faithfulness to us, even though it hasn't always looked in the ways that I thought it would look or the ways that I wanted to look. I trust in your timing. I trust in your desires for this church family, and I ask as the pastor of this church that you would grow me, that you would continue to help me be a person who desires to grow in my commitment to you, by learning how to love my brothers and sisters correctly, by having a heart of compassion for those outside of the family of Christ. Hey, God, would you do that work in New Hope Church? Thank you for all the good opportunities that we've had to share fellowship and community together this year, for the life groups and growth groups, for the different events, for the women and the children, and the scarce little events that you do for the men. Help us get better at that. And God, may you receive all the glory and the honor and praise. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and roll that video.
We'll be right back. right, you guys, you know you want to stand after that, right? You know you want to stand and sing out with us.
Hey, as I dismiss you guys today, I want to just share something with you. I received this picture. Actually, my daughter painted it, and she just sent it. And I happened to notice that in the picture, it said Lamentations 3:22-23. His mercies never come to an end; they are new every morning. And I'm like, that's a weird verse to put on a picture of the earth. And I didn't really get it. And then she said, well, somewhere on the earth, the sun is always rising. And because I always thought of this verse as like every day for me, because I'm kidding to be think about me, God's mercies are new. But do you realize there's like 86,000 and some odd seconds in every day? And that means that every second of every day, there's a new day beginning for somebody. There's a new sun rising. God's mercies never end.
Never end. It hit me this morning, and so I quickly downloaded this picture, and I was going to put it in my message, and I completely forgot. But I want to read. I want to close with this verse from Psalms. And the psalmist wrote, "I will sing of thy steadfast love, O Lord, forever with my mouth. I will proclaim thy faithfulness to all generations. For thy steadfast love will establish forever. Thy faithfulness is firm as the heavens." Okay, go back to the picture. Like, this is the deal. When you wake up and that sun comes up in the morning, when you go to lie down at night and you see the sky filled with stars, and like God has set his faithfulness in the heavens. The heavens are a reminder of God's faithfulness, of his mercies, of his steadfast love. What an incredible reminder to us. As the sun rises, as the sun sets, that God is always faithful. Not just in your 24 hours, but everywhere with every person. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To him be all the glory and honor and praise. May we experience, may we give thanks to him for his great faithfulness in our lives. New Hope Church, God bless you. As you go, if you are taking off, have a great week. If you're sticking around for the meeting, in about 10 minutes, we're starting right in this room here. And if you're coming back for lunch,